Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today's guest speaker will be Omaha Film Commissioner Kathy Rocco. The title of her presentation will be Movie Making in the Midlands. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, June 18, 2009, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Kay Criss, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today on this beautiful day. I'm Kay Criss, president of the Omaha Press Club and also a proud member of the club's Education Committee. At least once a month, the Press Club sponsors a noontime forum at the club on an issue we think is of interest to our members and the public at large. You do not have to be a Press Club member to attend, but we'd love to have you join. We welcome the audience here at the Press Club today and our KIOS radio audience. Did you ever wonder what Hollywood and Omaha have in common? Well, our speaker today has some insight for us. Kathy Rocco is Omaha's film commissioner and has assisted companies with film shot right here in the Big O. Kathy grew up in Omaha, graduated from UNO, worked in P.J. Morgan's administration, also taught at the Iowa School for the Deaf, raised a family, has grandchildren, and has been film commissioner since 1991. Whew. After Kathy speaks, we will open the forum up to questions from our audience. There's paper and a pencil at your table. Please write your questions on them, and they will be brought to me to ask from the podium. And Kathy, we'll introduce you now.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation to speak to you today. As a film commissioner, I help productions in helping their productions to go smoothly, and I also help to attract productions to our community. These would include film, television, commercials, documentaries, industrial and video and musical videos. Before the Film Commission became a full-time office, it was always in the mayor's office. So at each administration, the mayor would choose a member of their staff to be the film commissioner. And as the mayor left and the staff left, so did the film commissioner. When I worked for Mayor P.J. Morgan, he gave me one of the responsibilities as being film commissioner. And I knew what to do on some of the job descriptions, but the film commissioner job concerned me a bit. So I went to the chief of staff, Paul Welday at the time, and I said, "Paul, I've noticed here I'm film commissioner. What do I do?" And he said, "You know, don't worry about it. It's, you know, we won't get anything in. You don't have to worry about it." So one of my responsibilities or one of my titles was film commissioner, which I thought was pretty cool. Well, in 1990, Sean Penn came to Omaha to direct his movie Indian Runner. And I get my phone call, and they say, yes, this is a production designer from the project Indian Runner, and I was wondering if you could help us. You're the film commissioner, correct? And I go, yes. Can I call you back? Well, sure. Go there. Okay, Paul, I'm a film commissioner. What do I do? And he sat there for a minute, and he said, give them everything they want. So, all right, you got it. So met with the production designer. And I don't know if any of you have seen Indian Runner, but it's a dark piece, and it has to do with two brothers, one that had served in Vietnam War and was very troubled, and his brother was kind of the good guy, and he was the sheriff in the town. And it was a period piece back in the 60s. So what the production designer needed was signs, light posts, anything that represented the 60s. And so we worked with Public Works at the time, and worked with different departments to help them to recreate the setting back in the 60s. After Indian Runner was made, went off, and everybody saw the film, and they started looking at the numbers, they decided that Indian Runner left a lot of money into the community and thought, you know, maybe this is something we need to explore. So shortly after, they opened up a city-county film office and full-time, and instead of reactive, we became proactive. I work with the city and the county to provide the services that production companies ask for, and I also act as a resource person for production companies who come in and need various crew members. And we have that listed on our website. Presently, we have two film commissioners in Nebraska. We have Lori Richards that is in Lincoln as the state film commissioner. She is part-time, and then I am the Omaha film commissioner. There are over 300 film commissioners in 40 different countries all over the world. It's something that helps production companies to carry making their projects easier, and we're usually the first office that they will, or the first contact that they make. Annually, we attend a trade show in Los Angeles, and that usually attracts movie makers, and they will go to different booths and talk with film commissioners that will help them to understand our locations. One of the challenges that we have here in Nebraska is that when we have a call that talks about Nebraska, there really is no perception. They really don't know what we look like. And so our job is to let them know truly how diverse we are. We can go north, and it's the rolling hills, and we can go west, and it's pretty flat. And we do have a nice, diverse area in surrounding greater Omaha area. And then, of course, Laureate in out in western Nebraska has, you know, a variety of vistas that she's able to showcase to filmmakers. We don't only impact the local motion media community, but we help to contribute to the revitalization of the local economy, and we help to promote tourism. An example of that would be Field of Dreams and Bridges of Madison County in Iowa. It attracts a tremendous amount of visitors that want to see where that movie was created. Sideways is very interesting. I don't know how many of you were able to or were interested in seeing Sideways, but it took place in wine country in California. And the Santa Barbara Convention Visitors Bureau and the Film Commission reported that they had a 30% increase to their website, and the wineries that were featured on a map that was created by the Bureau and distributed increased 42%. Sideways film production in Santa Barbara generated approximately $4 million in the economic impact to the community, and an impact of 15% of tourism revenue to the county over 4 years. So we won't. It's not always a home run. We don't always have a film that will generate the interest that Sideways or Field of Dreams does. But when About Schmidt filmed here, we started to get calls from people in a smaller town, Nebraska, Iowa, and they would call to say, we're coming to Omaha, and we want to visit all the different sites that Jack Nicholson visited or where the sets were. And we started thinking, wow, you know, now if they came, they spent the night, they ate at our restaurants, they paid for entertainment, that leaves money in our community. And so we realized that, you know, it does boost tourism. And it's not only just something that we utilize as entertainment. Here's an example of a direct benefit of hotel nights when a production company comes to a community. On an average film, and that really is pretty wide, is when I say average, because it really can, depending on if it's an independent or if it's a larger budgeted film. But we'll say that they would have approximately 80 crew members that would come into our community. Our infrastructure is not as big as we would like it to, and of course some of that is due to the fact that we don't have a lot of production here to be able to build up our infrastructure. Or if we have a large movie that's filmed here and they say, man, I love this, you know, this is a great field to be in, I want to continue to work on films, they will leave our community because we just don't have that much activity that goes on. But so say if they bring in about around 80 crew people, they would stay approximately 90 nights. You can have pre-production that can last, it can be up to 2 to 3 months, depending on how many sets that they build. About Schmidt was here in pre-production approximately 3 months before they actually shot, and then you have post-production. So we'll call it around 90 nights. And we'll say that each night is about $80 for a room night. Again, that can vary. They want usually a full-service hotel because of their working hours. A lot of times they will be up early in the morning, get back late at night, and their hours will shift and change. So sometimes they need services in the middle of the night. So they like the 24-hour services. You take 90 nights times 80 members. Well, that brings in about $576,000 just in lodging. And then, of course, when they're here, they have to eat. So then the production company buys from our grocery stores. They purchase gasoline. They rent cars. They spend their per diem. And a lot of times you'll see a lot of members down in the old market. They love our old market. They buy a lot of materials through hardware stores and drug stores. It's so outreaching, and it's unless you're a part of the production, you don't realize the all of the areas that they touch when they're here for a production. And then at the same time, they utilize our local crew, and so it puts our people to work as well, which is something that is fantastic because the people that we have here are good. We've got very, very good crew base. We've been very fortunate to have Alexander Payne here. He has brought his projects here, Side Sideways, Citizen Ruth, Election About Schmidt. He is talking about his next project that he is finding a financing for at the present time. It is going to be a special effects movie. And so, unfortunately, since we aren't set up for any type of a studio for special effects, he's right now looking at New Mexico. But he says there's no way that he's going to make that movie without bringing part of it to Omaha. And he's very good to us, and we love having him here. We have had a movie of the week called Gone in the Night with Kevin Dillon and Shannon Doherty. We've had the comedy Two Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, with Patrick Swayze, John Leguizamo, and Wesley Snipes. And on a personal note, years later, I ended up marrying a guy from Chicago who came to work on that movie. So it's kind of interesting when he talks about the movie stuff. I understand what he's talking about, and he said that's always something kind of unusual because he'd say something to someone he was seeing, and he'd always like, oh, they never knew what I was talking about. And But then, you know, that gets a little old, too, to talk about the industry. We've also had locals who've made their projects here, like Full Ride, that was directed by Mark Hager and produced by Andy Anderson. We've had Dana Altman with North Sea Films, who produced, and Nick Fackler that directed Lovely Still with Ellen Burstyn and Martin Landau. April Showers came out this year, and it was here for a short time, but it was written and directed by a gentleman by the name of Andrew Robinson. Andrew is from Omaha, moved to Colorado, and now lives in Los Angeles. This is his second movie that he has made here in Plattsmouth and in Omaha. And it's a personal look at the Columbine tragedy that he was a survivor of. And it's a little bit hard to watch the movie because the fact that we know that it was real. You know, some movies you look at and you go, it's make-believe, it's, you know, it's created. This one was based on what he went through when he was there at Columbine. And so it's a very emotional film, very well done. And For Love of Amy was also filmed in Plattsmouth and will be released this year as well. Nickelback was here not too long ago, and they shot a musical video here. And they gave us a call and needed crew to help them to work on their video. And so some of our crew people worked on that down at Quest. And as many of you know, Up in the Air was here, and George Clooney was here, and that was fun to have him here. Jason Reitman, who was the director of Juno, was directed Up in the Air. And he came to Omaha, it's been probably a year and a half ago, and scouted. And he truly loved Omaha. And it's so... it's so exciting to hear someone from Los Angeles come here and then say, unbelievable, I love Omaha. And it's always like one of these things where you feel like if you could just get people to force them to have to stop, make a stop here on the way, that they would see a lot of locations that they would like. Unfortunately, because we lack film incentives, he was not able to make the majority of the movie here. When we were scouting, and he had his UPM in the back and his production manager in there, and I could hear them talking, and he kept saying, "Are you sure we can't get him more days?" Hey, you know what that means? This means money. No, we really can't. And unfortunately, they were only able to make have a couple of days, and he didn't really have to shoot here, because in St. Louis you really can recreate a lot of what Omaha looks like, but he was bound determined he wanted to film here. And so that was nice, and we're thrilled that he was able to spend some time here, and he keeps saying I'll be back, so we'll see if he truly will be or not. We do have presently there is a group of us that are representatives from different organizations that are working towards a study of tax incentives. And what we're trying to do is put together information that shows that Nebraska can truly receive revenue from tax incentives. You will find some states will argue that they don't truly make money from tax incentives. And then you had some that have had a study, like New Mexico, that has shown, yes, you truly can generate income from these tax incentives. So we're doing our homework, and then we will introduce it to legislature next year. And we'll keep our fingers crossed that we can accomplish this. I believe it's now one of nine states that do not offer film incentives. And I would have to say that we have now, it used to be that we would get the calls, and one of the first questions they would say is, does Nebraska offer tax incentives? And we'd have to say, well, no, but, you know, we certainly can help you in making your project as economically low as we can. We'll do what we can to help you to make your project and try to save you money. It usually didn't work. They wanted to hear tax incentives. Now we don't even receive the calls. It is now on the internet, and all they have to do is just Google it, and they see the states that offer the incentives, and we don't even get the calls anymore. So it's a very challenging, frustrating thing to be a film commissioner and not have tax incentives and not be able to, you know, try to get them to come here and scout our area. So, but we're working on this now. So, and in closing, I wanted to also let you know that working with individuals from Los Angeles sometimes can be humorous. They are clueless when it comes to Nebraska. I've received many calls. I was going to say a call. I've received many calls that need cornfields. And they'll call, say, in the wintertime, and they'll say, all right, we're coming in March, and we need the corn that comes up as they're running through the corn. And it's, I always have to educate them about our corn. And, you know, we always start with, you know, corn, knee-high, 4th of July type thing, you know, just to kind of give them an idea. Or they'll say, you know, we're here in November, and we need this green cornfield. And then, you know, we have to say, well, no, it's not green by that time. It's either cut down or it's really brown. And we had an incident where we had very high-level executive positions that came into Omaha. We were one of a few locations that they had decided for their project. And it took place on a small farm, and this was close to Blair. And they got out of the car, and they decided they wanted to look at the different vistas that surrounded the farm. So they went off on their own. There was five of them. And I stayed with the owner of the farm, and we sat and visited for a while. And, you know, you can just make small talk just so long, and then eventually you're like, oh, where in the world? And then I'm thinking, did they get lost? And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And finally, way out in the distance, we see them walking, and they get closer and closer. And I see that they have something in their hands, and I couldn't quite figure out what it was. And as they get closer, they have marijuana in their hands. And they're walking, you know, with all this marijuana. And I thought, you know, and the farmer thought it was funny, and I wasn't quite sure what to do with this thing. They get in the car, and they asked if I would mail it to them. And I said, well, no. I said, I really don't want to be put in jail. I said, no, I can't mail this to you. And they knew they couldn't take it back on the flight with them. And we didn't get the movie, and I don't think it was because of that, but it was shocking. But the other story is very similar. Thomas Hayden Church was here doing location for a television movie that he was going to do. And as we were driving between here and Lincoln, and he, it was a project that a film that took place in a very small town, and actually had to do with marijuana growing, but as we were driving around, he was absolutely stunned, elated, thrilled, shocked that we had all this ditch weed, all this marijuana that was just growing wild. You know, never thought anything about it. I have not, I mean, if you even ask me, I'm not even quite sure. I mean, guess now after that incident, I would know now if it was marijuana or not. But I didn't think anything of it. And he's like going, you know, you've got to stop. You've got to stop this car. So I'm thinking, oh my God. Pull it over. He takes his camera. He's taking pictures. He's like doing certain things. He's like playing with it. And who drives over? You know how it's hilly. Who drives over the hill? A sheriff. Sheriff stops. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, this is not going to look really good. And I'm like kind of nervous. And I'm trying to like pretend like, you know, well, it's really not a big deal. Well, he sees who it is. And the sheriff is like, you know, enamored. Oh my gosh, it's Thomas Hayden Church. Oh, so then they start this conversation. He never did ask us why we stopped. I didn't know what he was going to do. I was thinking, oh, is he going to pick this too? Is he going to ask me to mail it to him? I don't know what to do. But he thought that Nebraska was great because of our ditchweed. And but anyway, that's about all that I have. And I'll open up to any questions.
First of all, how is your office funded?
We are funded by lodging tax. We're part of the Omaha Convention and Visitors Bureau, and so it's not out of the general fund. It is a separate fund, but it's under the City of Omaha umbrella.
And what are some of the attributes? You mentioned earlier that a lot of people just love Omaha. Why?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think it is what they've created in their mind that Omaha and Nebraska looks like. I think they're so pleasantly surprised that it is not a backwards, nothing, nondescript city. I think it's because when they come in, they say, "Wow, the old market is always very, very attractive to film production companies," and I just think that it's much more progressive than they had anticipated. So, I think that's why when they're here, they say they love it, and I think that's pretty much. I mean, we're by the river. The river is really getting more and more beautiful as they're developing it. And there's sensibility to our city. Everything is making sense of how Omaha's being laid out and what we have. And I think that is impressive to people. It's clean. And the other thing that we hear, not only for the College Row series visitors that are here. But the one thing that we hear at the visitor center is Omaha is so friendly. Unbelievable how friendly people are. And I think that adds to the whole ambiance of what Omaha is all about.
And you were talking about the movies that have been made here. And we know a lot of these are shot on city streets and involve extras. And who's in charge of hiring them? And how easy is it for just local citizenry to become an extra?
It varies from production company to production company. A lot of times they will contact casting agencies here locally and let them know that they're looking for extras, and then they will put the word out to whether it's through the internet or in the newspaper, and will let them know that they need extras for a certain amount of days. For Up in the Air, they contacted us and asked us if we would put it on our website, under our Film Commission website, and then they put a little blurb in the paper that they had to contact or get into our website and apply that way and send it off. They didn't want anybody. They didn't want any calls. Anybody can call our office and ask us, and we will certainly direct them into how they can find out how to be an extra if they're truly interested in it. If a production company has actually set it. They didn't really set up a true production company when Up in the Air was here. It was just a kind of a little makeshift at a hotel for the couple of days they were here for Up in the Air. But usually they'll have a production company, and they will have a phone number or an email address, and then you can contact them, and they will let you know how you can be an extra.
Well, thank you, Kathy.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. We've heard a talk by Omaha Film Commissioner Kathy Rocco. The topic of her presentation was Movie Making in the Midlands. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, June 18th, 2009, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club presents these noontime educational forums each month. The next program will be Thursday, July 16th at 12 noon. The topic at that time will be the future of UNO athletics. The guest speaker will be Trev Alberts, newly appointed athletic director of the University of Nebraska at Omaha. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings are available on the Internet. Visit our website at kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.